You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Welcome to New Point, whether you're in Ohio joining us or throughout one of our states or one of the countries around the world. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us, and I want you to know one thing. God's got that whole world in his hands, and he's not fretting, he's not worried, he's not overwhelmed one bit. And so we're glad that you're joining us today. We're living in unprecedented times. I'm sure that you know that, I'm sure that you realize that, and I would like for you just to think, just for a moment. Here we are, we're online, okay, and we're speaking literally around the world. One church in many, many, many locations, and is teaching us incredible lessons about God, that God can use anything in any moment at any time. And so we're excited about how God is reaching and speaking to all of us in this unprecedented time. Now, I want to encourage you to continue to allow Jesus to navigate for you through this time. You know, he's the faithful one. He's the wise one. And he's going to lead you. He's going to lead me through the darkest valley. And he's going to bring you and I out on the other side. So I want to encourage you to continue to be engaged. Continue to join us and watch us, whether it's through campus Facebook groups or New Point Online or YouTube. We just are so glad that you're joining us today. And I want you to encourage one another through the chats. I want you to be able to ask for prayer, because we believe that prayer changes things. We believe that prayer is the life support system that we have to this God whom we celebrate and whom we love. And so we're glad that you're here and joining us today. Now, we're in this series called Hope in the Dark. And I realize that this is a big, big world, but he has the whole world in his hands. And no doubt you're looking for hope. I know that I am. Hope in this big world that sometimes feels very, very dark. And yet I want you to know that the source of hope that you and I can have and experience comes from God. Matter of fact, he's the only source of hope, because he isn't controlled by the headlines. He isn't controlled by a report. You see, you and I have to be able to understand something. This isn't the first time that our world has experienced something like this. Throughout history, mankind have seen and experienced disease and plagues. I remember reading about the plague in the 1900s, the early 1900s, and scars and different things have come up into our own life, not just the early 1900s, but right today. And we see this happening on and off. You see, there's something about you and there's something about me that has a tendency to think that life is just going to get better and better and better and better. That it's going to be better for our kids and for our grandkids. And yet the fact of the matter is, that's not what God says. God says that in this world, you and I are going to have trouble. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to have losses. We're going to have disappointments, because we live in a fallen world. And so we have a tendency to think that we're experiencing something that's never happened before. And the realization and the reality is that it's happened many, many, many times, and God was there. And so we're looking at this journal, this letter called Habakkuk. And he's journaling because he went through something like you and I are going through. Matter of fact, I would say it's even worse what he went through than what you and I are experiencing. He lived in a time of where evil reigned. It just reigned. And he lived in a time of where people forsook God and they did evil and they were just crazy. And he was asking the question of God, where are you? What's happening? What's going on? Because he couldn't see God's hand. And so maybe that's where you're at today. You're asking this incredible question, where are you, God? Where are you, God? And so what we want to do is we want to take a look at the perspective that you and I need to have and need to develop in a time like this, because Habakkuk shared his complaint to God, and then he was kind of in a waiting mode. He's in the waiting room. It was the in-between. And I think he was kind of saying to God, what do I do now? I've shared with you my frustrations. I've asked you my questions, and I'm kind of in this period of waiting. And that could be a difficult season, and maybe that's where you're at today. And maybe you're asking this question: if God is so good and in control, why is this world so messed up? And you find yourself in this waiting time, this waiting period of where you're talking to God, you're praying to God, you're crying out to God, and yet it seems like he might be deaf or he might be blind. And all of us have been there or are there even today. And Habakkuk found himself in a waiting place, and he journals what he does. And I want to encourage us to do the same thing that Habakkuk did in his day. And so it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I just want to read it, and then I just want us to walk through it today, because, you know, we can learn things from those who have gone through things that you and I are experiencing today. And here's what he writes. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint, because he gave a complaint. And if you weren't able to hear last week's lesson, I encourage you to be sure to go to newpoint.org and listen to it, because Habakkuk confronted God honestly about what was going on. He goes on to say this: then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Wow. He says, though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. And so, what is Habakkuk saying to you and me? Let's break it down. Here's what he's saying. He says, I will climb to my watchtower. You know what he's saying? He's saying, in the midst of everything that's going on, I need to gain some perspective. I need to gain some perspective. And so he's climbing up into this watchtower. And in biblical days, a city would build towers around the city. And they would be able to go there, and it would elevate them. And they could see for miles and miles and miles. They could see what was coming. They could even see the weather that was coming. And it would allow them to prepare for whatever they had to face or whatever they had to deal with. And being on the ground gave them very limited perspective. And so what does this say to you and I? Well, spiritually, it says that you and I must not look at what's going on just through a human viewpoint. We have to view it through God's eyes, because he's in control. And so we must develop God's perspective. A man named the Apostle Paul did this. He did it very, very well. And he wrote a letter to a group of people, and he said it like this. He says, for I consider from the standpoint of faith. What's faith? Faith is believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do, that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. Wow. To us, that God's going to show up in your life and in my life in ways that we've never experienced before. And that it's going to be revealed in us. It's going to bring about change so that you and I will never be the same. You see, Paul had a lot of problems. He had issues with his eyes. And he had issues with his body. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He had all kinds of different challenges. And he could have had a horrible perspective. But what happened is he changed his perspective when he looked to God. And he realized that, hey, you know what? What I'm going through right now is peanuts compared to what I'm ultimately going to be able to experience. And you and I can do that. We can gain perspective by looking to God and by rising above everything that's happening. I remember I was talking to a guy, and we were in a restaurant, and he stopped by the table I was at, and he was telling me his problems, and we're friends, and he was just rattling off, and I just looked at him, and I just guess I was in an ornery mood, and I told him, I said, let me tell you something that's different about you and me. Matter of fact, it's probably different from me and everybody else in this restaurant. And he said, what's that? And I said, you're living for 80 years and I'm living for eternity. And I said, so you're trying to deal with all of your issues, all of your problems in the time frame of 80 years. And I said, I'm not. I've got a perspective of eternity forever and ever. And so maybe today you need to gain a perspective and realize that God's in control and he loves you and that he wants to use this time to be able to reveal himself to you in ways that maybe you've never known or never experienced. And Habakkuk climbed to his watchtower to gain perspective, and maybe that's what we need to do today in the midst of everything that's going on. He goes on to say this. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. Wow. Stand at my guard post. What's he saying? He's deciding to obey. He's deciding to obey. He says, you know what? I'm going to stand at my guard post. My dad was in the military, and he served in the 101st Airborne, all right? He was a paratrooper. He jumped many times. Matter of fact, I would ask Dad. I would say, Dad, how many times did you jump in World War II? He said, I never jumped. I always got pushed. But he was in Pearl Harbor, and he jumped in Normandy, and one of the things that he shared with me, he said, Dwight, he said, there were times that we had to go on guard. We had to be on the watch post. And he said it was so, so, so important. And it was drilled in us that it was important, because how we handled that and how we embraced that was of vital importance, not just to us, but our platoon and everybody around us. And Habakkuk basically decided to obey God. And basically was saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to decide to stay here. I'm going to decide to stay here. I'm not knocking off early. If I'm bored, I'm still going to stay here. I'm going to be committed to staying at my guard post. I can't leave it. There's too much at stake. I need to be able to do that. And maybe today, maybe you're feeling a little bit weary and maybe just kind of overwhelmed, and that God isn't really as close as what you'd like for him to be. Maybe you sense that he's absent and your prayers aren't being answered. And you feel like, you know what, I'm just going to kind of lead my post. And what I would suggest to you very strongly is don't. Decide to obey. Be determined to obey. And just say, hey, you know what, I am going to be faithful. You know why? Because my wife is depending on it. My kids are depending on it. There's a lot of people who will be affected if I leave my guard post. And so I can't do that. And I'm going to wait here no matter what happens, no matter if I feel like it. I'm going to do my duty. And yet many times what happens is when life gets kind of stale and we get overwhelmed and we think that it's not paying off the way in which we wish it would, or we think it would, or should. What happens is we end up stop reading the Bible. We end up stopping to pray. We end up quitting, and we leave our post. And you can't do that. I can't do that. You see, what happens is I have to do that which is most important, and that is I have to gain perspective, and I have to be able to stay at my post. I've got to decide to obey God no matter what, because what happens is if I don't stay at my post, what happens is I revert to other things then to try to cope, like maybe alcohol or overeating or just stressing out, and it impacts the other people around me. And so here's what I want to say to us today. No matter what happens, you can't afford to leave your post. You need to do what is necessary. You need to put one foot in front of the other and just say, hey, you know what? Because this is the right thing. I'm going to decide to obey God and to obey God fully and completely. And he'll honor you for that. And Habakkuk knew that. Habakkuk went on to say this, there I will wait. Wow. There I will wait. He's saying, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be here. No matter if nothing changes, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to decide to obey. He goes on to say this. He says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. He's saying, you know what? I know that I become impatient with God at times, but I need to wait because I know that what he's going to say and what he's going to do will not prove false. Though it what? Lingers, wait for it. We become impatient, don't we? It certainly will come and will not delay. Here's the third thing that we learn from Habakkuk, and that is we got to be patient. We have to be patient. What did he write? He wrote this. He says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. God says, I'm going to give you some answers. I'm going to speak to you. It might linger a while. Don't give up. Don't give in to despair. Don't become depressed or discouraged. Don't leave your post. Be patient. I'm going to give you some answers. It might linger, though, but be patient. What does it mean to be patient? Let me give you a definition. A quality of self-restraint or of not giving way to anger. Wow. See, what happens is when you become impatient, when I become impatient, what happens is it affects me in a way that I can even become angry, which affects all the people around me. And so what God is saying to Habakkuk is this, wait, don't give up, don't despair, be patient. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though it's complex, even though it's confusing, wait, don't give up, don't blow up, be patient. Be patient in your situation, be patient in your troubles. You know, some of us might say, well, Dwight, I wish I had patience. Well, let me give you two things that can help you and I with patience. One is we have to choose humility, because you'll never be patient without choosing humility. You see, patience comes from a deliberate act of humility, of you and I humbling ourselves, choosing to be humble. That's where it comes from, a deliberate act of humility. And so you and I are called to choose humility. You and I are called to be humble. And that's one of the ways in which we can grow and develop in our patience. Because really, when we become impatient, we're showing our colors. We're basically prideful. And then he says this. He says, choose not only a humility, but he says we have to choose to be patient. Here's what he says. He says this. He says, now, James says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year here or there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. What's he saying here? He's saying, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. It's arrogant for you and me to think that we know what the future is going to hold. And those feelings that you and I can have that will cause you and I to be impatient come out of the fact that we think we know more than what we really do. We know what's going to happen, and that's just not true. And so what happens is we have to choose humility. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We have to trust God. And so we choose humility, but we also want to be able to choose growth. We want to choose growth. You see, what happens is many times when tough times come our way and bad things happen and disappointments occur and we experience loss, you and I don't usually say, wow, what a great opportunity for me to grow. What a great opportunity for me to become the man, the woman, the person that God wants me to be. What a great opportunity for me to be the husband, the father, the mother, the spouse that my family wants me to be and needs me to be. We don't think that way, do we? See, what happens is when you meet disappointment with patience, it turns you in to being meek. And meek is not weakness. Meek is strength, power, under control. And that's good. See, James says it like this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. He goes on to say, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, what he's saying is this. When you and I meet the difficulties and the struggles and the losses and the disappointments and the bad times with patience, it turns you and I into a person who has character, who has poise. You see, I have read that they said that pressure can take a lump of coal and turn it into a diamond. Wow. Well, when you and I find ourselves in tough situations, painful situations, you and I can either mishandle it or you and I can choose to be patient and humble ourselves and say, hey, you know what? God, this is an opportunity for you to grow me. This is an opportunity for you to develop me. See, Job was in that place. Job said it like this, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, God knows what he is doing. What's Job saying? Job is saying, I don't know what I'm doing. God knows what he's doing, but I don't know what I'm doing. And he says, and I will come forth as gold if I cooperate with God. Job is saying, and Job went through a season of life that was horrendous. And Job was admitting that he doesn't know everything. And he says, I'm going to meet this with patience. I'm going to grow. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to choose to humble myself, and I'm going to choose to grow. That's what Job chose to do. You see, what happens is, and this is true in my life, and I want you to know it, I'm praying more now than what I've ever prayed. Why? Because it's seasons like this that causes us to develop a more effective prayer life. You know, it's very easy for me to slip and for you to slip in our prayer life when life is easy. And yet when life is tough and difficult, you know, this is an opportunity for you and I to develop our prayer life and reconnect with God and be able to say, God, I want to gain your perspective. I want to obey you. I want to grow as a person. And so Habakkuk was basically saying you gain perspective and you decide to obey and you choose to be patient. Then he goes on to say this. He says, I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Wow. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the tower. I'm going to stand at my guard post and I'm going to see what the Lord will say, how he will answer my complaint. I think what he's saying to us is this. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on God. You see, listen, everything that gets your attention doesn't deserve your attention. And there's a whole lot of things out there that's trying to get your attention. And if you and I focus on the wrong things, then what happens is it's going to lead us down the wrong path. And Habakkuk had a whole bunch of things that he could focus on, but he said, you know what? I'm going to see what the Lord has to say. I'm going to see how he answers my complaint. And so it is with you and me. We're called to focus on God, not what he can do for us, not what he can give to you and me, not how he can reward you and me, but just because he's God. You see, Satan came to Job one time and he saw Job's life and he thought, man, this guy's got it easy. You know what? I'm going to go to God. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to challenge God on something. And he had a conversation with God, and he told God this. He says, you know what? If I was Job, I would serve you. He's got a cake life. He's got an easy life. Look at all the blessings around him. You know what? I bet you if you would take all of those things away, he would curse you and die. And God basically said, you don't know my man Job. He doesn't serve me because of what he gets from me. He serves me because I'm God. And yet I believe that Satan is basically right about too many of us. We connect with God to get things, don't we? I mean, I have to confess, when I first came to God, I came to God because I wanted to experience forgiveness of sin. And I wanted to be able to live forever with him. But hopefully sometime in that relationship, the switch flips, and I begin to serve God because of who he is, not because of what he does for me. See, maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've had that done with you. Maybe somebody has built a relationship with you and you've blessed them and you've been very generous towards them and you've given them many different things. And you've had this relationship, and yet somehow, some way, things started to slow down and you weren't able to give them the things that you had given them in the past. And because of that, they really weren't interested in a relationship with you. How'd that make you feel? I'm telling you, it'd make me feel used, mad, angry. I'd say, you know what, I thought you cared about me, but really you cared about what I gave you. And I think that happens too often, especially in America. You know, when we feel that God is no longer delivering in the way in which we want him to deliver, you know, we just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to go to church anymore. You know what? I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. I'm not going to pray to God anymore. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give anymore. Because you know what? It's just not working for my advantage. The return on my investment isn't there. How do you think that makes God feel? Same way it would make you and I feel. And so what we're called to do is we're called to wait on God. And to wait on God means to love him for who he is, not what he does for me or what he does for you. You see, that's selfish love. And Job and Habakkuk, they experienced that and they decided, hey, you know what, God? I'm going to serve you because you are God, not because of what you do or what you don't do. And they stayed with him and they became servants. And so whatever darkness comes your way, whatever disappointment comes your way, no matter how upset you get in life, you know what? What I would say is serve God because he's God. Because here's the question that he's asking us today, and it's this. Did you get into this relationship to serve me or for me to serve you? Wow. And that's the question that we all have to ask, isn't it? You know, are we going to focus on God because he's God, because he's good, because he loves us, because he cares for us? You see, what happens is it's in the pressures of life that you really find out what you value and what you love. And so we're called to be able to focus on God. And when you do that and he takes you through those times, you become a person that's unflappable. You become a person who has poise. You become a person who experiences security and peace and joy that you've never had before. And what happens is when you focus on God through the good times as well as the bad times, not because of what he does for you, but because he's God, then what happens is you begin to feel and know that you can handle anything in life. That as long as God is with you, you're okay because he's God. And so Habakkuk would say to you and I, focus on God. And then he wraps it up with this. He says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, live by faith. Choose joy. Choose joy. You have all the reasons around you to be discouraged, to be defeated, to be depressed, but live by faith that God is good. Habakkuk says it like this. He says, the just, the righteous will live by faith. He says, choose joy. The Apostle Paul lived this out, and he wrote it in a letter. It's called Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, here's what he writes. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." He's saying, rejoice in the Lord, that he knows, that he cares, that he loves, and that he's for you. Choose joy. I love what Kay Warren has written. She writes it like this. She says, "Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things." I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to choose joy. That's what Habakkuk was saying. I'm going to have faith in God and believe that he's got everything handled, even though I don't understand what's happening. And so Habakkuk said, "I will live by faith. I will choose joy, and I will grieve well. I will grieve well." Now, this is so important because Habakkuk had lost things. There were things going on that were painful, hurtful, just like you and I are dealing with. And he says, "I'm going to live by faith, though. I'm going to grieve well." Why? Because God is the God of all comfort. I want him to come and comfort me and to minister to me. You see, Jesus said it like this. He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be what? Comforted." You see, sometimes we think that time heals all things, and it doesn't. It's not true. Matter of fact, time can make things worse. Only God can heal you and I. And that's the purpose of grieving. The purpose of grieving is to be able to position ourselves for God to be able to bring healing to us. And so I want to give you some ways in which we need to make sure that we're grieving properly. Here's the first one, and it's this: I allow myself to process. I allow myself to process what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing. I allow myself to feel. You see, what happens if you don't allow yourself to process, then you'll never experience healing, because what you'll choose to do is numb yourself with alcohol, prescription drugs, food, whatever. And so I'm going to allow myself to process everything that's going on. And then I'm going to allow myself to feel the pain, to feel the pain. You see, if I don't allow myself to feel the pain, I'll bring it into the present. And by the way, that's why I believe that there's so much abuse going on in our families today, because this season is just causing pain in our lives to resurface, and we're taking it out on one another. And then not only to feel the pain, but when I grieve, I need to shed my victim mindset. And what I mean by that is I have to understand the role that I have played. Because we all play a role. And I can't just blame other people. I have to say, hey, you know what? I'm a part of the problem. And God, I'm looking to you for your help. And so I need to shed my victim mindset. And then when I grieve, I not only need to shed my victim mindset, but I also need to release anger and depression. Anger and depression, because when you experience loss, when I experience loss, I have to be honest with you. It affects my emotions, and I can get angry, which can lead me to be depressed, and I have to look at life in a realistic way. And so I have to be able to release the anger and depression to God, because if I don't do it with God, then what happens is my family, my friends, will be the recipient of my anger. And so we need to be able to do that. And then finally, I need to be able to make sure that I don't lash out with vengeance. I don't lash out with vengeance. And here's what I mean by that. Some of us are great counterpunchers. And so what happens is we get in these situations of where stress is high and disappointment is running rampant in our life. And because of the losses, because of the frustration, because we have a sense of being out of control and overwhelmed, what happens is we can live in that arena of where we fight with one another, and it's exhausting, and it can be overwhelming. And so what I would encourage you to do is don't lash out with vengeance. And then when I grieve, I need to empathize with those who are hurting. You see, listen, everyone in your household is struggling. Your spouse is, your kids are, your siblings are, your mom and dad are. And what happens is in our own hurt and in our own pain, we can forget that there's other people who are hurting too. And so I need to empathize with those who are hurting. And then finally, when I grieve, I need to be able to feel hope for the future. And I'm not denying reality. This is a tough time. But it is an acceptance of reality and the hope, the confidence of knowing that God's in charge and that God ultimately will work all things together and that I'm going to work on my relationship with God. I'm going to gain perspective and I'm going to choose to focus on God and I'm going to decide to be obedient and I'm going to allow Him to lead me and guide me. David in Psalms 27, who experienced seasons like we're in right now, he wrote this. He said, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. I'm confident of this. He says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You see, that's where I'm at today. I'm confident. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord, and I need to gain that perspective, and I need to decide to obey, and I need to be patient, and I need to be able to focus on God, and I need to choose joy, and I need to choose to grieve in a proper way, and God will come and meet with me and meet with you. The band's going to come, and they're going to play a song, and I want you to think about a couple of things. The song speaks of God's goodness, And in every season, every situation, here's what I want you to know. God's there and He's good. If it were not for His grace, if it were not for His love and generosity, you and I would be overcome by it. And it's easy for us to get our vision cloudy and not be able to see clearly. And so what I want us to do is I want us to remind ourselves of the goodness of God today. And to realize, God, you are good. And I need to be able to embrace you and all that you've done. And so as the band sings, would you allow God to speak to you and just be open and celebrate His goodness? So, Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for Habakkuk, who lived in a very troubling time. And yet he lived by faith. You allowed him to gain a perspective and you allowed him to lean into you and to understand that though you were silent, you were not absent, and that you are faithful and that you are good. And I pray today for me and all of those who have joined us around the world that we would realize that you are good. You are good. You are faithful. And we celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.